want to know God more. Amen. We want to know God more. And so we have to be proactive on that. That's why I get up and I say, come on, let's enter in. Let's worship. Let's dig in. Let's sit at his feet. Let's give him praise. Let's give him honor. And I'll address the audience online and the audience up in the balcony, up in the nosebleed section. And I want us all to just engage. I don't want you to miss what God has. And I don't know about you guys, but my wife and I, we've been here almost a year now. We came, Father's Day was our first Sunday last year. And I don't know about you, but the presence of God is so rich in this place here lately. Last Sunday after the service was over, it was just so thick. I told my wife, I said, I had to just turn around and just pause. And I was still praying, and I was praying in the Spirit. And I was saying, God, just thank you for what you're doing in our services, for what you're doing in our presence. And aren't you thankful for the presence of God in this place? We need God when we come together. It's not just a matter of just coming together and singing three songs and having a three-point message and going home. It's not about that. If that's all we want, then I don't want to be in this thing. I want to do something else. What I want is I want the presence of God in this place. That's what I want to be about. I want to be about we come together, we see lives change in the name of Jesus. And the only thing that can do that is that the presence of God will change and permeate who we are, take precedence of who we are. So this Grow series, I'm asking God, and I want you guys to ask God with me. Lord, I want you to grow me. Not only I want you to grow me, but I want you to grow us. I want you to grow your church, so that we can make a stronger impact on this community. How many know that Jesus wants to touch people's lives through us and through our church? And so we need the presence of God. I want you to stand with me all across this room, watching online. Now, thank you guys for being with us. Those up in the balcony, hold your Bibles in your hands. Let's ask God's blessings today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, just begin to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, wake us up, Lord, in our spirit. Wake us up, God, in our mind. Wake us up in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to know that we need you, God, that we need you more than ever, Lord, in our land, in our time. And Lord, we pray, God, for a supernatural touch of your Holy Spirit in this place. I pray, God, Lord, every inch of this building, God, would be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, when people drive on this campus and they turn on Edward Street or Dorchester Street, God, they come down Cherry Road, when they drive on this campus, Lord, they sense the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We pray the Holy Spirit saturate this place and saturate our hearts, saturate our minds. Come on, just begin to pray right now, God. We need you, Jesus. We're hungry for you, Lord. We love you, Father. We honor you, Lord, in this place today. Oh, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I break strongholds in the name of Jesus right now. Come on, you guys begin to pray with me. I break strongholds in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the enemy in Jesus' name, and we declare the freedom of the Lord in this place. We declare the freedom of the Lord in this space, in this context, in this time. I declare the freedom of the Lord over my life, over my home, over my family, Lord. I plead your blood. I plead, God, your presence, God, in my life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers. God, you hear our cry. And I ask, Lord God, that you would grow us, God, to be more like you. God, grow us as a community, Lord, to do, Lord, what you've called us to do. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. So you've got your scripture in Luke chapter 24. And I want you to just to go there just for a moment, if you will. If you're there, say, uh-huh, praise the Lord. All right. Look with me, if you will, around verse 30, if you will, verse chapter 24. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened. Everybody say their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? This is a key I want you to see this morning. I want you to underline that, highlight that in your word. Were not our hearts burning? Everybody say burning. Burning within us as he talked and walked with us. And verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. This is one of the last few times that he'll appear in this setting. And they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. And then verse 45, Then he opened their minds. Everybody say, open their minds, so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised. And this is what I want you to get this morning in your heart again this morning. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. Everybody say it with me. Clothed with power from on high. Father, I want to thank you for your word today. And I pray, Lord, over the next few moments, Lord, really the relative to all week long, the little short span of time we have together to look at your word together as a community, God, I don't take that lightly. I don't take it, Lord, minimally. I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, will speak through me, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Lord, use these lips of clay. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to everyone in this room. And I know, God, that it would be received, Lord, in different ways. And God, so wherever they're at in their lives, that your Holy Spirit will reveal something to every heart. Lord, that they will leave this place, God, with something in their heart that you gave them, Lord, that you encourage them with, Father. Speak to us. May the word, this word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said amen and amen. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. God bless you guys. Amen. So what I love about this being clothed with power, how many have been around First Assembly of God for a good while now, maybe 20 years or more? How many have been this first year? This is the first year you've been a part of this family. Anybody in the house? Several. Yeah, amen. Amen, several. God bless you guys. Well, so a little bit of history. I was raised in this church, and I got saved at the age of 14 at this altar, gave my heart to God and began to follow Jesus, and went to Bible college pursuing ministry, knowing that's when I wanted to serve God with all that I had, all part of my life, and felt that he wanted to use me in that way. And so we've been around South Carolina and where else? Missouri, Indiana mostly for the last 30, 35 years. And we've spent the last 20 years actually in Charleston area, in James Island, pastoring a church there. And so God has brought us back after 35 some plus years, I guess it is. Isn't that kind of a cool thing? That's very cool. I love telling people that. I love talking to people in the community about that and telling them a little bit about our story and how we're back after 30-something years pastoring the church that I was raised in. It's very surreal. I'm very thankful for it. But when I look back as a young man, and Pastor Paul and I find ourselves talking about these days quite a bit, and some of you will know what I'm talking about. You guys remember what tarrying at the altar was about back in the day? Tarry at the altar. What, give me some one-word definitions of what that would. What does that mean to you if you tarry at the altar, somebody? Stay. What else? Wait. What else? Wait till the power falls. Somebody, what'd you say? Seeking, yes. Selah, absolutely. Yeah, that pause, that breath and waiting on God, that thinking on him, thinking on his word, that Selah moment. Somebody else. Come on, some of you guys, been around a little while. All that, right? We're waiting, we're tarrying, we're crying out for God. I know we don't have Sunday nights, but we have other contexts and other places where we can come together and pray. But I remember Sunday nights where we would just come around the altar and for hours, sometimes for hours, we would tarry and wait and be hungry for God. Guys, I don't know about you, but we're living in a day and time where I don't see that as much anymore in the church. And it concerns me that we are wanting more of God. It's like that dinosaur egg that Finley got. That we want to put it in water. We want to see God do some amazing things, but we don't want any effort in that whatsoever. Matter of fact, I was at a conference not long ago, and a pastor was sharing that they have a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and hundreds come to this prayer meeting. And we're wanting to know what the secret sauce is. How do you get people to come to a prayer meeting? And basically he says, when you get desperate enough for God, you'll start coming to the house of God and praying and seeking his face. When in desperation, you come to God. How many times do you find yourselves on your knees because out of desperation, you get to a place where you need God? Too many times, our Christianity in the Western culture, we want a painless and comfortable Christianity. We want the temperature just right. We want the seats just right. We want the context just right. We want the room just right. We want all the programs in place. And if we don't offer all that up on the top shelf, then they can go shop somewhere else. Hello? What we need more than anything else in this day, in this hour, is we need the presence of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We want the presence of God in this place. And without that, we can't do anything apart from that, guys. We can't. So, Pastor Steve, what do you mean by the presence of God? I mean that what Jesus is saying here is being clothed with power. Now, he's given this description to his disciples. He's reappeared. He's come back. He's getting ready to ascend. And he's spending these final hours with his disciples. And he's revealing to them that, you know, it's better that I go away so that I can give you that what the Father has promised, and that is the Holy Spirit. If I say Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that I have promised. And so it's better that I go away so that I can send my Holy Spirit, the Father can send the Holy Spirit, and that we can do greater things than we've ever dreamed of. And he says, and I would never leave you nor forsake you. And he could have said, now you guys go and do. I'm charging you. I'm commissioning you now. Go. That's not what he said. What did he say instead? He said, wait. Everybody say wait. He said, wait to be clothed with power. Wait to be clothed with power. Wait to be clothed with power. So when that dinosaur egg begins to crack open, we get really excited. His legs start popping out, we get really excited. In just a few days, he'll be a full-grown dinosaur. So what does it take to be a full-grown Christian or a mature Christian? What is the vital signs that we'll see as believers in Christ? I believe one of the key vital signs that we have that we'll see in the presence of a child of God is that of love. Everybody say love. Love is the vital sign that we all need. Loving others. Love for God, a love for others, and a love in doing it with joy. That's our values around here, that we love God, we love people, and we do that with joy. And the vital sign we have as a children of God that God wants to see in our lives, that we need in this day and hour, is love. Love for God and love for humanity around us. Amen? Amen? Many times we want the product. We want to grow. We want that part of our Christian walk. But many times we're not willing to walk through the steps that get there. Many times it's difficult. It's challenging in our day and time. We've got to be desperate enough to want to get to God. You got to carve out. You got to set margin in your life to get with God, to know him. But there are going to be seasons, everybody say seasons, of growing. There are going to be seasons of growing in all of our lives. And some of you have experienced many of the seasons already. I think about many of you are trying to get your yard in shape. You're throwing fertilizer out on the grass. Or maybe how many gardeners we got in the house? Gardeners, I know beautiful gardens and beautiful landscape. One of the main things you have to do, though, when you're getting your garden ready, and you guys know this, is you got to get the soil ready. You gotta get that soil ready. You gotta add, that nitrogen and that phosphorus and that potassium. You gotta get that into the ground. You gotta get the nutrients in the ground so that it will produce the garden or the grass or the green that you want in your yard or in your garden. And the same thing with the things of God. You've got to have 10, 10, 10. You gotta have it all. You gotta have the Bible. Hello, how many love the Word of God? You got to have the Bible, and you got to have the Spirit of God. You got to have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you got to have the community of God around you. No man's an island to himself. You got to have people around you who love God and love you as well, and love the community that we're in. And so you balance that out. You have the Word of God, you have the presence of God, and you have prayer, and you have the community, and you got to balance that out. So many times we walk through different seasons, don't we? We walk through different seasons, and that's the difficult part, I think, as we want to grow in God. There's seasons that we walk through, and some are difficult. And some of you are walking through a very difficult season right now, and you're wondering where God's at. Some of you have just come out of a season that was very difficult, and you saw how God ministered in that situation. Some of you are in a blessing season right now, and I pray that you are. I pray that you're in a blessing season, and you're experiencing the presence of God in your life, and you're experiencing the richness of his relationship and in knowing who he is and the fellowship of God. And I pray that's for you. But we're all going to go through different seasons. And in my prayer this week, I was reminded of how the Lord sees every season of our life. Now listen to me. Just lean in just for a moment right here. He sees every season in our life, and he sees every season just as important as the other season. Hello? Just as important as any other season that you go through. Listen, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already loves you. There's nothing you can do to make God madder than he is, because he don't get mad at you. He loves you. He's graceful. He's merciful. He is a just God. He is a sovereign God. But he loves you with an everlasting love, whatever season you're going through. In Exodus chapter 24, 25, we see a depiction of the tabernacle that God is instructing to build, and we see the articles that are going to go into the temple, the tabernacle, and we see the articles, and one of the articles that we see is Aaron's rod, and there's a teaching in there, and I want to kind of open that up a little bit to you, if you will. You can turn, if you will, to Exodus 25. I believe we've got it up on the screen as well, but we'll show you some the Word of God here and how we grow in every season. It's important to see this morning. It's important to understand that God is concerned about every season in our life. In Exodus 25, 31, the instruction says this: make a lampstand out of pure gold, hammer it out of its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. There's three items that were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. Can anybody give me an idea what those three items were? Just give me one at a time. Somebody know what was in the Ark? Commandments were in the ark. Yes, the commandments were placed in the ark. Richard, you got something? Aaron's rod was in the ark. That's where I was going. You knew that. And one more. Manna was in the ark as well. So we see the Ten Commandments, we see manna, and we see Aaron's rod was in the Ark of the Covenant. And we see that the Aaron's rod was very important in the eyes of God. And even so, that we want to place this article in the ark, and it's going to be in the tabernacle, and it's symbolic of the presence of God in every season of life. When you look at Aaron's rod, and we see several depictions of how this rod actually testified, gave approval for Aaron and being over the tribe of Levi as they were looking for leaders. Aaron's rod, Aaron's staff, the same staff that Moses used to turn to open the Red Sea, turned into a snake, and it devoured the other snakes in front of Pharaoh. So many different miracles that Moses used with this rod of Aaron. And we see this depiction, but one thing that we see is when Aaron was approved to be the leader of the tribe of Levi, we see that the Levi were going to lead this tribe. We see that Aaron's rod, his staff, had buds. Everybody say buds. Had blossoms. Everybody say blossoms. And it had fruit. Everybody say fruit. It had fruit, and it had all those. And actually, we see the menorah is a depiction, really, of what this symbolism is, that the buds, the blossoms, and the fruits. And I want you to know this morning that whatever season you're in, now some of you may be in a budding season. Now, the budding season is so important because in the budding season, you're in a time of preparation. You're being prepared for what God has for you. It's like that dinosaur egg. I'm going to keep going back to that. I love word pictures. You're putting it in water as a preparation. It's like it's soaking in water. You've committed your life to Jesus. You want to know more of God. You want to grow in God. You want the things of God in your family and your home. And so you're saturating yourself in knowing who God is. This is the everybody say preparation. Preparation. When my kids were getting ready to go to college, I said, these next 4 years are just important, if not more so, than anything else you're going to do the rest of your life. Don't shortcut it. Don't discount it. Don't think that it's not important because you want to get on with what God has for you. This is important right now, that you prepare for what God has for you. The preparation, the bud phase in your life, is just as important as the blossom and the fruit of your life. Does anybody hear me this morning? Your preparation, your time where you're learning, your time where you're locked in, you're focused, and you're asking God, do what you want to do in my life. Teach me, Lord. Show me, God. I want to sit at your feet. I want to know you. The bud process. I love the bud process. But I'm like you. I want that dinosaur to crack the egg, and I want to see what the dinosaur is going to look like. I want to see how it's going to grow. I want to see what my life's going to produce. I want to see what this garden is going to produce. I want to see how my grass is going to look this year. I want instant gratification. I want to see the fulfillment of this. I want the blossom as well. Now, you might be in a blossom phase right now. I love the blossom phases. You guys know what I'm talking about? The blossom phase, where you're starting to see the fruit of your labor. You're starting to see the fruit of your life. You're starting to see there's that tangible view of God in your life. It's the blossom part. I completed that degree. I completed that training. Now I'm in a blossoming. I'm actually seeing the fruit of my labor. I'm seeing the fruit of my hard work. I'm in that blossoming place. Some of you in that, and I pray that you're experiencing that in your life. That's a beautiful place to be. That's a rewarding place to be when you're in the blossoming. There's excitement. There's life. There's product. And so we're getting towards a product. We're getting towards that. And we're in the middle of that blossoming season. Some of you are in there. And praise the Lord that sometimes you even see at the end of that, you see the fruit of the blossom. Amen. You see the almond, if you will. You see you saw the bud and you saw the blooming, and now you see the almond, the fruit of that, and you have that going on. You have the fruit in your life. How many of you got some fruit in your life? Hello? Anybody in the house, you got some fruit in your life? Amen. The blessings of God in your life. You have fruit. You see the hand of God in your life. You see the blessings around you of what God is doing, and you're in that fruit season, if you will. I love that season. I love the fruit season. I wish we could be in the fruit season all the time. I love the harvest season. Amen. I love the getting the crops that you've worked so hard. You tilled the soil and you prepared it, and now you've got fruit to show for it. And you begin to share it with others. You're in that fruit season. You're in that sharing the produce season. You're in that growing, that place of produce, if you will, of all the hard work. Now, the fact of the matter is that I've known people who have been in ministry all their lives, and they were always in that budding or that blossom season, but they never ever realized the fruit of their labor. At the same time, I've seen people go from bud to blossom to fruit. And others I have seen just hang out at the blossom. They got through the bud and the blossom, but they never got to the fruit. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want you guys to get this if you don't get anything else today. God is concerned about you and loves you and is involved in your life just as much in the bud phase of your life than as in the fruit phase of your life. Does anybody hear me this morning? It's not that God is he's just more proud of you, or he just gives you more of a pat on the back because you made it to the fruit stage. No, he is just is pleased with you. He is just in fellowship with you. He is just in love with you in the bud stage of your life as much as he will be in the fruit stage of your life. The bud stage of your life. I don't know about you, but there's been many places in my life where I just felt like I was in the bud stage. I'm in the bud stage. I'm in that working, that toiling, and that where is God? And God, where's the produce? Where's the fruit? God, how come it? And you work it, and you work it, and you wonder where God's at, and you feel like you're in that bud stage. Is anybody with me this morning? You guys are with me this morning? And you feel like, God, when will I get to a blessing place in my life? I want you to know that God is just as involved and just as in love with you in the bud stage as he will be in the blossom and in the fruit. The important thing you have to remember is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he said he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he is with you in the bud stage. And he's with you in the blossom stage, just as much as he was in the bud stage, but you might see him a little bit more now that the flowers are starting to come out, and there's actually something starting to happen, and he's going to be with you in the fruit stage. He will bless you in the fruit stage. You will get the blessings and you will see the blessings. But there are blessings every step along the way. And I want you to see, no matter what season you find yourself, as you grow in the Lord, as you grow in Him, no matter what season you're in, God loves you just as much in every season of your life. There's no difference. There's no categories. There's no places of where He's more. He sees more of you or less of you, or He's closer or He's further away. He loves you in every stage of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what He said to the disciples and what He's saying to you and I today is that no matter what stage you find yourself in at this moment in your life, whether you're in the bud stage or the blossom stage or the fruit stage, and only you know where you're at, and the Holy Spirit knows where you're at. But whatever stage you're in, Jesus says to you and I today, He says, be clothed with power from on high. Be clothed with power from on high in the bud stage. Hello? Oh, in the bud stage, in the trying stage, in the challenging stage. Be clothed with power. In the blossom stage, in the fruit, in the flowering stage, you're getting ready to produce. Be clothed with power. In that place of blessing where there's fruit and you're experiencing the product of your hard work, be clothed with power. Because in every stage, we cannot do it on our own. We need the power and the filling of the precious Holy Spirit to indwell and minister through and in and to us. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, be clothed with power from on high. Be clothed with power from on high. I've asked Emma if she would sing a song, because He said, I want you to be clothed with power from on high, because as she comes prepared. Because as you are being clothed with power, you are doing what I've asked you to do. He said, I want you to go into all the world. And He said, I want you to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What did He say? He tells us in that commission, He says, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to make disciples. And that's what we are here to do, folks. We are being clothed with power. We are growing in Him so that He can pour out in us and through us to a lost and dying world around us. Amen? No matter what season we're in, whether we're in the bud season, in the blossom season, or in the fruit season, He said, I want you to be clothed with power so that you can do the work I've called you to do. Hallelujah. I want you just to close your eyes, and I want you to think about this for a moment. Let it soak in. Let's have that Selah moment, as Matt said. And let's let God do what He wants to do as we reflect on this song this morning. And this commission, this is what the Lord has asked of us today.